Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames. And we get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yeah. We got lots of friends here. The Donalana Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by Practical Farmers of Iowa, a member-based, farmer-led, nonprofit organization that has been strengthening farms and communities through farmer-led investigations and information sharing since 1985. You can find out more at their website, practicalfarmers.org.
And Donna, we have a brand new underwriter.
Woohoo!
And we're welcoming a brand new underwriter. Tell us about it.
Oh, boy. More of our favorite people. The Donalana Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub meets community. Find out about their annual Burns Night Supper, the Burns Night Supper, to be held on Friday, January 25th, 2019 already, at Ryman Gardens. For more information, go to themuckyduckpub.com or call the pub and ask for Marcus.
Yes, this is the Donalana Kitchen. We talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. And we're sliding into the holidays here, and we've got opinions
sliding
about that,
sliding is
too.
The right idea.
It gets a little slippery out there. It's very a little wintry, and it's been wintry for a while. So I hope you all know where your warm sweaters and mittens are.
Did you notice that snow this morning? It looks like the children's Christmas play where they're dumping laundry detergent to look like fake snow.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of granular.
Yeah. What's with these flakes, right?
I don't know. We'll have to work that out. Yeah, cold. It's cold anyway. We know it's snow. Finally, got my bird feeder filled, and it was almost immediately. You fill up that bird feeder, turn around,
and all the squirrels come. Right?
No, not yet. they'll find it in a little while. But I turned around, and every possible place for a bird to perch was covered with goldfinches. And the goldfinches have their winter coats on now. It's not the gold, bright gold. They're kind of in their khaki, little, understated outfits for the winter. But they were just, they all came at once. I was so thrilled.
I had my possum visitation last night. Boy, does he have his winter coat on. He looks like a healthy, furry, fluffy. He's gigantic. He does not look scraggly at all.
Good. Well, good for him. Well, wish your possum a good winter. And all of the birds at the bird feeder. I also, in between these snowflakes, such as they are, I dragged out some Christmas lights. And every year you think, well, this is going to be organized this year. It's not. You have to untangle them, and then you wonder, now, where exactly did I put that extension cord? But I've got that all done. Got the lights on outside.
Well, when I got mine out last year, I found that I could no longer buy the size of bulb that I put in the Christmas tree lineup for the last 50 years. Everybody's using those little twinkly, what are they called?
LED.
Yes, the LED bulbs. Uh-huh. So what are you supposed to do, throw it out and start over again? I don't know.
We will make do.
Okay.
Because we don't just have to decorate. We have the pleasure of cooking, of baking this time of year. Today on the Donalana Kitchen, we're going to consider the holiday kitchen and discuss tools of the trade, because some of us don't really get in the kitchen and bake cookies except for maybe this time of year, and you're kind of looking around.
Oh, bah humbug.
Yes, it is. Today, on the Donalana Kitchen, we welcome to our kitchen table Mindy Bergstrom. Welcome.
Thank you.
She is the new owner and proprietor at a very fine downtown establishment called Cook's Emporium, right on Main Street.
We lucky to have a cook store right on Main Street.
That's true.
A real live one.
Cook's Emporium was established in 1979 by Mark Junkin, and Mark Junkin was the proprietor for 39 years, bringing us all kinds of stuff that we didn't think we needed, but now we know we do.
Can't live without that stuff, right?
We can't live without it. So, welcome, Mindy. Tell us about how you came to the Cook's Emporium trade.
Sure. So my husband is actually from Ames. He went to Gilbert High School and went to Iowa State. So his family's all here, and we would always come down on the weekends and visit his family, and he would bring me downtown.
From the Twin Cities?
From the Twin Cities.
Okay.
Yep. And so every single time we'd come down, I'd always say, let's go to Cook's Emporium. So I've actually been shopping at Cook's Emporium for about 5 or so years prior to owning the business.
Oh, goodness. And
was that because you love to cook?
I think I just like kitchen gadgets and decorating the kitchen with all these fun, colorful things in the store.
Oh, good, good. So now you are the purveyor of all of these wonderful things. And so welcome to Main Street.
Yeah,
good for you.
It's been fun.
It's funny that you talk about how colorful it is. When Mark came on the show a few years ago, she talked about the changes, how when she first started, everything in the kitchen was white. And now everything's colored brightly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how do you envision the your new enterprise? And obviously, you have a lot to build on from what Marg left you, but mm-hmm. you're going to add your own ideas.
Yep. There was a very good footprint. She did such an amazing job of picking out great quality brands. So that's really not changing.
Useful things.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's just some introductions of newer things that are kind of on the marketplace. But for the most part, you know, I'm kind of staying true to what she established for the last almost 40 years is just great quality
it's
products.
Because it works.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, very good. Good. Speaking of the gadgets, since you like gadgets, I like gadgets too. What are some of the fun new things that perhaps...
What can we give the cook for Christmas?
Sure. Yeah, we have a lot of options. We actually set up a stocking stuffers table by price point at the store just to help out customers when, you know, they're not too sure what to get everyone for the holidays. So there's a lot of people that are hard to shop for. So yeah, we set up that table. There's different scrubbies. I know Swedish dishcloths are pretty big. We were previously talking about...
Now, what's a Swedish dishcloth?
So it is a cloth that you can reuse multiple times. I think I finally threw mine away, and it does compost fine. But
it's the one that looks like a really thin sponge. Is that?
Yep.
That's a sweet. Why is it Swedish?
That's where they
what
made
they're
it.
Called.
Yep.
Okay.
Swedish dishcloth. So you can actually throw it in the dishwasher to clean it, and mm-hmm. you can reuse it a ton of times. It takes place of a paper towel in my mind, or at least I use less paper towels now because I mm-hmm. use that to clean the counters. I use it to wipe my dishes with or, like, wash my dishes in the sink with. And because they last forever, I mean, you just keep reusing it.
Ah, so. Good. Good.
And they come in cute patterns, too.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, lots of different designs. And it's a good price point, too, so it's a great stocking stuffer idea.
Good. What's up? What else is on that table?
There's different scrubbies. There's little packages of tea from Tea Forte to put in stocking stuffers. There's just a lot of different things. It's kind of hard to say because I see it every day, so it's new, you know, not new to me, but, you know, stem gems if you're trying to take out the little pit in the strawberry or, I don't know why. My mind's going blank. I see these things every day, 7 days a week, and
well,
I'm just like,
you mentioned it, a new product we were talking about before we went on air, the duck fat spray.
Yep.
Now, this sounds great.
This sounds like something you could drop in a stocking.
Yeah. Yep. It's something different. We actually just got it in the store yesterday, and we've actually sold probably, I don't know, about four or so within the last 24
so
hours.
So it's like instead of the spray olive oil or the spray coconut or the traditional Pam, it mm-hmm. actually has duck fat.
Yep.
And?
Yeah, duck fat is naturally gluten-free. It has a higher smoke point. And it's all natural. There's no added preservatives, which makes it great for, you know, families cooking for
probably the main selling point is the higher smoke point. So, you know, like if you're going to roast your vegetables, even roasting like kale and stuff, if you spray it and you put it in the oven, it will crisp up nicely without turning black.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I have to rush right over and have one. I have to try this.
Sounds great.
It's a newfangled concept.
It is.
Well, duck fat, as you used to never be able to get it unless you knew a duck. So, you know, I mean, you know, you don't go to the store. But now you can find
you
duck
can
fat.
Buy and duck fat around yeah. even around Ames.
Very
and
good.
Now you can buy it in the aerosol form. Oh, boy, we are so sophisticated.
Yes. So do you also sell those? There's spray things that you can add olive oil to and spray them? I mean, you can fill a sprayer and
yep.
spray them.
Yep, we have a couple of those options, too. So hey. If you have olive oil already at home, throw it in the bottle, and you can use it as a PAM alternative.
Yeah, just don't mix it up with your hairspray bottle.
Oh, no. My. Oh, no. Good. And which means that it doesn't have any propellants in it. It's just air?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You just pump it and spray it, and it works just fine.
That's a good idea. I want to also ask you about another thing that's kind of new on the horizon. Well, it's been new for a couple of years, but I've liked crock pots, and I think I've got one that I got at Goodwill a couple years ago, and it just cooks away. But now it's like crock pots have gone really high tech, but they're not called crock pots anymore. Tell us about
yeah.
that, Mindy.
Yep, they're called multi-cookers.
Multi-cookers.
Go yep. for it, yeah.
Yeah, so they're kind of an all-in-one machine where you can make rice, you can make...
Do your laundry.
You could do your... Yep. If you wanted to, you could boil some yes. clothes in it. But it has traditional settings like a low and a high mm-hmm. for a slow cooker. So you can still do that. There's a yogurt button. So if you wanted to make yogurt in it, you could.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I think the biggest
but
thing...
But now they pressure cook, don't they?
Yep, it's a pressure cooker.
That's a big deal.
Yep. So in addition to slow cook, it's pressure cook, and you can pressure cook it at low or high as well. So you just can cook things really fast. Risotto, 8 minutes, and it's
oh, really?
Done and awesome. Yeah.
Can you use them the way you use a sous vide thing? Will it hold low? No, because it doesn't have a circulator.
Yeah. Yep. We're okay. going to actually be getting in sous vides soon.
Oh, talk about sous vide. So. It's something else that's brand new. That a sous vide is not a multi-cooker. Why is that different?
Yeah, it's like a wand that you can stick in a large pot of water, and it will heat the water up to a specific temperature.
Usually a very low temperature, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, 100.
Yeah.
Very low, and it circulates so that, well, we've done that where I do the sous vide pickles.
Mm.
So it's, you have to cook it in, like you can cook in a pouch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I'm not crazy about because it's more plastic. However, I did buy a silicone pouch. Are you going to have the silicone pouches with it?
I have the food saver type pouches that will be coming in with it. We do have reusable, like, Ziploc type bags
right.
as well. But, yeah, you just clip it on the side of a pot of water. Let it get to that specific temperature. Throw in, say, like you want to make a steak, medium rare.
You don't throw the steak in. You have to put the steak
in
a bag.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep, and let it do its thing. And then afterwards, it's going to look kind of different because you're not searing it. So after it's cooked to that specific temperature, you can sear it on a pan, get those nice grill marks, and it's the perfect steak.
You can actually throw eggs in, though, right
oh.
into the water
oh.
and get
–
You know, if you like that hard-boiled egg thing where the yolk is still soft, you can actually do that.
Hmm.
It's that precise.
Nice.
And also, I've been making pickled vegetables with it, as does, what's the name of the restaurant where he makes those pickled vegetables?
Arcadia,
right. The chef there, he sort of turned me on to it.
Yeah, they tend to sous vide up a storm over there.
Yeah.
Oh.
At first, I was scoffing at the whole idea of, you know, because, oh, God, here's another chef trick. You know, what's wrong with the traditional ways that we cook? But then when I tasted his pickled vegetables, I really liked them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a sous vide machine, too.
Have you tried their tomato jam?
Oh, yeah. Is he making a tomato jam? I have to go back over there.
Yes, get a breakfast sandwich with tomato jam and mixed greens and egg, and it's amazing.
Time to go back to Arcadia.
Good food to eat. Yeah, see, when you're out shopping, I think stopping in a local eatery is a good idea. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I want another question about this multi-cooker thing. Crock-pots I always think of as kind of big company size portions. What size do these multi-cookers come in?
Yeah, so I carry three sizes. There's a 4-quart, 6-quart, and 8-quart.
Oh, okay.
Something for everybody.
That's good. That's good.
So Instapot is a brand name then?
Correct.
Okay. Are you having that or a different brand?
We have a different brand. We have Zavor.
Z-A-V-O-R?
Yep. It originally was Fagor, and it was out of Spain. Mm-hmm. And then they got bought out by a U.S. company, so it could be easier to distribute. So now it's called Zavor. Exact same machine, same model. It's just rebranded differently. So
you can I'm actually tempted to get one simply – well, because my crock pot is it's on its last leg. But mostly because it has that dual function of the what's it called?
The
pressure cooker. Thank you. The pressure cooker. I mean, I don't have a pressure cooker because I'm still from the generation where my aunt used to scare us as children. Don't touch that. It could explode.
The kitchen.
You know, and you have these visions of it. You know, the little thing on the top that's going popping off and hitting the ceiling. So this is a whole new world and actually a very interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you still need to let the pressure out prior to opening the lid. Made that mistake once.
Oh, what happened?
It kind of boiled over, and of course it was next to a cabinet that had all my utensils and knives in, and the water just dripped all the way down there and all three of those cabinets.
Big mess.
Yeah.
Okay, but it didn't explode.
It didn't explode.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
Well, I think we learned from all our big messes in the kitchen. And Donna mentioned about buying yourself a present for Christmas.
Maybe that's what I want for Christmas.
Yeah, perhaps, you know, thinking of what you want for Christmas, this may not be something you buy for somebody else, but every now and then, the need for a really good frying pan shows up. And do you have a recommendation as to the kind of all-purpose pan that a good cook would just grab as the first pan?
Yeah, I would say anything around like 10 or 11 inches.
10 or 11 inches, okay.
I think 8 inch is great if you're making an egg or two in the morning. Uh-huh. But I guess the pan that I use the most at home is, I think it's 10.25 inches.
are you thinking Le Creuset or what?
Mine is actually, it is Henkel's. So it's Willing J.A. Henkel's is the full name. It's a ceramic spirit pan, 3-ply. The nonstick on that is quite amazing.
Good.
Yeah, if you burn anything on the pan, boil water in it, and then that Swedish dishcloth, take that Swedish dishcloth and wipe it out, and
now,
it's
what are they
perfect.
Using to coat their pans now that Teflon is a no-no?
Yep, the ceramic coating is on it.
Ah.
Yep.
I have seen those and have not tried them, so that's...
It's pretty slick.
Huh. Good idea. I, of course, have my mother's cast iron.
Yeah, so that works good. Except I have heard, now you can tell me this, that you're not supposed to use a cast iron pan for like acid things, like onions and tomatoes. Is that true? Or doesn't it matter?
Well, it depends on your, like mine are so old and so seasoned that nothing hurts them, which is why I really love them. But, you know, I mean, we're talking, you know, second generation here already with the cast iron. Plus, I don't use soap on my cast irons.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
I just, if they're a little crunchy, just like Mindy said, I will soak them a little bit and then wipe them off with something not too rough. And then the other thing is I always dry mine on the stovetop so that they don't rust.
Stovetop or oven is great.
That's true. Keeping them very dry so they don't rust. These ceramic coated pans, as we used to do with Teflon, do you need special utensils for them?
It's best not to use stainless steel because it will scratch it. So we have a lot of different spatulas and spoons that are silicone or a softer plastic. We also have melamine, too. So
is the ceramic coating on those like the same as on the traditional Le Creuset?
I do believe so.
Yeah.
I know Le Creuset puts two different coatings of their ceramic on it. Yeah, it just makes it really easy to clean up.
Wonderful. The Creuset pans are wonderful, but they're really heavy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and picking up with one hand, I don't know.
Well, so is your cast iron.
That's true. That's oh, well, we have to get our cooking muscles all set up here. Yeah.
Yeah, well, after years of picking up pans, I have whole shoulder and wrist issues.
That's true.
Professional hazard. So
that's good. since we're coming up to baking. Did you do a lot of baking yourself, or?
Yeah, I'm more of the baker. My husband's the cook. He's able to just throw things together and it tastes amazing, where I'm very precise in measuring and I like to follow recipes. So, yeah, I'm more of a baker when it comes to being in the kitchen.
Oh, very good. What do you like? What do you have to bake for Christmas? There are the have-to-haves. What is your Christmas favorites?
I'm kind of known for my chocolate chip cookies.
Ah, there you go.
So, yep, I follow the recipe from America's Test Kitchen. They do so much research on how to make the best chewy chocolate chip cookie. And my secret weapon actually is vanilla from St. Martin that we pick up every once in a while when we go down there.
Oh,
you can't buy it at the store?
I haven't been able to find it. But,
cool.
Yeah. But who doesn't want to trip down someplace warm, right?
Oh, yes. I'm out of vanilla. Time to go to St. Martin. Come along, darling.
Very good. I've got cookie cutters that I get out every year. I don't make cookies much any other time of year.
Bonnie is a good cookie maker.
But I love to make cookies. Mm-hmm. And the Christmas cookies that were my mother's. I'm assuming you have lots of cookie cutters to pick from at the store.
Yes, we have a ton. We're actually going through the process of inventory on them.
Oh, good.
So, yep, and then storage-wise, too. One of my awesome employees, Danette, she went and reorganized all the cookie cutters, recounted everything, and everything's in alphabetical order in the basement, and it's fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, you wouldn't think about that, but cookie cutters are not just stars and hearts and Christmas trees anymore. I think you can get cookie cutters in a whole lot of shapes. So I'm glad that you are organized. That's very good. And many, many years ago, my mom bought me some cookie sheets that I just love, because once you got them for me, it was thanks, Mom, for Christmas. I mean, but yes, I've used them and used them and used them. I don't know what the brand name is. They have like two layers and an air pocket in between.
Air cushion thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Nordicware makes some of those. Yep.
Oh, very good. And she gave me two sizes, which is really handy. And somehow the ones with the air spaces in, I can almost, my timing is different than with my old beat-up cookie sheets. So those are good. Those are very nice. I suppose you don't burn stuff so much, which just helps me a lot in the kitchen. What did you say they were called?
Nordicware.
Nordicware
makes the insulated cookie sheet pans.
Very
yep.
Good. Very good.
Well, and I have my other favorite. I like to use half sheet pans.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I have, I must have 10 or 12 of them. Because you can just use them for everything. And then on that, I put those silicone baking sheets called Silpats.
Oh, and
so you also can't burn very easily.
Oh, yeah, those are
now
very
say
cool.
Those are a bit pricey, but hint hint, that might not be a bad stocking. You can roll it up. That's a stocking stuffer
too. Yeah, and I have to say, even though you look at them and they seem a little expensive, why do I need this to line my? They last forever. I also have my mother, so they're got to be, I gave them to her, but then I inherited them, and they're probably 20 years old. So, you know, at less than maybe that's a dollar a year or something, they are well worth it. And you can do things like, it's not just for cookies, like, okay, if I'm roasting sweet potatoes, you know how the sweet potato always goes out and sticks to the pan? So if you use that, or another good example, I was making my orange peels, right? You're making candied orange peels, and you have to boil it down. And you want it sticky because eventually you have to get rid of as much liquid as possible. So rather than just like keeping boiling in the pan and you have to stand there and stir and watch it. At a certain point when it was still moist, but not dry enough to really be ready to, you know, to use, then I just put them all on the Silpat on the baking sheet, and my oven, this new oven that I got last year will hold a really low temperature. So I set it at 150
What?
On the Silpat, just spread them all out and stuck it in. I must have left them certainly overnight. So maybe 14, 16 hours
and
just let them dry out, because on the Silpat, they don't stick to it. So there's so many uses for good present for the chef who thinks she has everything. If she does not, or he does not have a Silpat, or two, I have two. They're nice to have in pairs, right? Because if you're like making cookies or something and, you know, you set one up and it's in the oven and then you do the next one, or for biscotti, I always use a Silpat. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, this Saturday at Cook's Emporium, the Donna Lana Kitchen Show is teaching biscotti cooking at 10 o'clock, Mindy, right?
Yep, 10 o'clock this Saturday.
So I'll be doing a demonstration. I believe there's still space. Mm-hmm. If you want to call Cook's Emporium, come on in. We're going to make biscotti with early morning harvest local Iowa flour. And we are also having Morning Bell coffee with it.
Yep.
And let's just say, I think biscotti make the easiest, most perfect Christmas present, because they are very shelf stable. You can mail them. They don't break easily. They keep a long time. You know, everybody loves a biscotti. And I'm going to teach you how to make any old flavor you want, so you can customize your biscotti, so that if you are giving a gift of biscotti, it can be something that only you could have made.
Fantastic. We're talking holiday baking. We are talking baking here, and this is KHOI Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. We are back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are talking about the upcoming holidays and all of the things that go on in the kitchen. You turn around and you want to bake something, and maybe you don't have it. And maybe you want to buy it, or maybe at least you want to talk to somebody who knows about these sort of things. We are talking to Mindy Bergstrom, the new owner and person on hand at Cook's Emporium to help you with all of your cooking gadget needs. Gadgets, what a nice thing to do. And Cook's Emporium not just has a huge amount of inventory and good advice. Mindy, tell us about the classes that you have.
Yeah, so over the summer, we actually had classes on Thursday evenings. Ton of different topics. So I think we had some good ones that we probably will repeat next year again. Moving forward, we have biscottis this Saturday at 10 a.m., featuring yours truly.
Yes, the Donna Lana Show is making biscottis on Saturday at Cook's Emporium.
And that's a good opportunity. It's one of those things that, yes, you can read the recipe, but it's kind of a, here's how it should look of recipe.
Yeah, this is what I like to, particularly biscotti, because the texture of the dough, which varies by whatever flour you're using, once you see it, and you know what it's supposed to be like, it's much easier. And that's something that's very difficult to convey in a written recipe. So come on down and have the live experience.
Yes. What other sort of classes are you planning, Mindy?
Yeah, so we actually have a couple weeks off just with the holidays, and we get pretty busy on Saturdays in the next couple weeks. But our last class that we're closing out the year with on the 29th of December, also at 10 a.m., is mimosas and French macaroons. Aww. So, yeah, that will be a little fun, having a mimosa and celebrating mm-hmm. the year end and start of the
and
new year.
And who's teaching that?
Her name is Jennifer. She's 22 years old, and she has mastered the French macaroon. And I don't know if you've ever made them before, but they're fidgety and difficult.
That's another thing. It's good to see it done. I've gone through some macaroon attempts, and they're edible, but I'm so glad.
Well, the French ones, they're very specific, and they're usually quite beautiful. Now, I'll do madeleines for you sometime.
Sure.
I'm really good at the madeleines.
Madeleines are good.
That sounds great.
There's so many good things. Oh, so what are some of the plans you have for Cook's Emporium, Mindy?
Yeah, so we plan to do a remodel in 2019. We're just going to spruce up the space a little bit, change some of the displays, and we're going to make the kitchen bigger.
Oh, good.
So we're going to expand the back area kind of into the office space. We're going to tear down some walls, make the kitchen bigger, be able to do more hands-on classes. A lot of the feedback I'm receiving from customers is wanting kids' classes and mm-hmm. hands-on classes. So I'm super excited. We have a lot of employees on staff that love to plan events. So we're going to have a lot of events and a lot of hands-on classes and even demonstrations next year. We're trying to be kind of almost like a Sam's Club where, you know, on Saturdays there's samples all the time. So we kind of want to do that where a specific day you can come by anytime and we'll show you knife skills, or we'll be whipping up some biscuits so you can have it with some Stonewall jam. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things. I'm super excited for next year.
Plus the store will smell good if you're baking
yep.
in it.
Well, that's
yep.
great. So don't think of this as Sam's Club. This is Mindy's Club. This is local. Put in a word for buying local. It's nice to have people that you know and can come in and talk to them, and they're there not just 1 month, but they'll be there for quite a while. The idea of having a bigger kitchen in your space sounds really, really good, because right now, yes, you have a kitchen, but it's kind of in the corner. It's amazing how people are more interested in learning how to cook.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interest. It's quite amazing. I'm surprised, I guess. I thought everyone was more interested in, you know, the retail aspect of shopping. But, yeah, the classes are, I mean, I'm getting a lot of feedback on topics that everyone's interested in. So that and the kids. I'm so excited about how much interest there is in children and being in the kitchen.
Well, good. We have to raise a generation that knows how to feed us. I think that's I can't wait till they all grow up and start cooking for me. That sounds great. So what happens during your remodel? Are you going to be open?
So we're still kind of figuring out timelines. I'm working with Integrity Construction on that. So unfortunately, there is asbestos in the floor. So we tear all that up, we'll have to, you know, do it by the book. So that might add some time. But I'm also talking about temporary space options within Main Street, too. So there might be a way for us to not be closed for a couple weeks and have the store be open. But prior to starting the construction, it is going to be during our slowest time. So hopefully we won't affect too many people. But I am allowing enough time for if there's any returns after the holidays or if anyone wants to use their gift cards. We'll have a couple weeks in there before we'll actually
close. So you're thinking
close.
You'll start at like mid-January then?
I'm thinking late January, because it sounds like the downtown Ames community is doing dollar days at the end of January. So I was going to kind of take part in that, and then we're going to have a lot of product to move in storage, and then from there it will be probably at least 3 weeks or so.
3 weeks? Ho ho!
Good luck. Contractors and stuff going on, we will be cheering you on. Cook's Emporium has been a downtown fixture in Ames for a long time, and we're just thrilled that it is continuing in good hands.
Yes, in its second generation. Thank you,
yes.
Mindy.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us today, and do have a dandy holiday, and good luck on teaching Ames to cook.
Yeah, thank you. Happy holidays.
And we'll see you Saturday for the biscotti class at 10 o'clock and coffee from Morning Bell.
Perfect.
Yum.
Oh, I like that a lot. Thank you for being with us. That was Mindy Bergstrom from Cook's Emporium. Very good. I would like to share a little bit of a thought here about Christmas. The holidays coming up. I have a book called Provence A to Z by Peter Mayle. He was he's kind of a British writer, a curmudgeon, if you will, who moved to the south of France and, of course, had to write about it. And all of the quirks of moving into a new culture, he was probably best known for A Year in Provence. I think that was even turned into a movie. But so he wrote this book called Provence A to Z. It's a whole lot of things about cooking and food. And it's, of course, arranged alphabetically. So I thought, Christmas. So I look under C. Nothing there. Nothing for Christmas.
Noël. Bon Noël.
See, now, if Donna would have known, if Donna would have been there, I keep, and yes, it's under
Noël. Right. It's Joyeuse Noël, I believe, or something like that.
N is for Noël. Okay, got you. So each year, they have, of course, things that happen in France, in Provence, in the south of France, and he treats each subject with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, of course. He starts by complaining a little bit about how the English have become so commercialized and everything starts a little after the fall holidays, and there's people buying things and Christmas carols up, and it just is way too much. And what he likes, what Peter Mayle has to say about Provence is, what he really likes is the brevity of Christmas in Provence, because really, they just
it's
celebrate.
One day out of the year, right?
They just celebrate Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. And because they eat good food all the time, and they're willing to celebrate almost anything, everything is celebration. But Christmas, the idea of this onslaught of Christmas, doesn't really happen until Christmas Eve. But on December 4th, and believe it or not, today on the Donalana Kitchen, here we are, Tuesday, December 4th, there is a French holiday. The approach of Christmas is signaled on the day of Saint Barbe. Oh, it's Saint Barbe. It looks like Barbie, but it's Barbe. December 4th, the official date to plant some handfuls of wheat in small pots. In other words, you're sprouting things, which kind of gives you a bit of green, a bit of looking forward to the solstice when things start up again. And regularly watered, this wheat will have grown tall sufficiently and green in 20 days to decorate the family creche. You use this little green and put it as part of your little display. That's good. And so on Christmas Eve, there is the family creche. You do that sort of thing. Yes, you do. But Christmas Eve, the idea of turkey, he says, no. We don't want turkey. That's very American. That's very Anglo-Saxon.
Right. They don't really eat turkey in France.
So the Provençal gros souper, the big supper of Christmas Eve, manages to be reasonably light and at the same time interesting. A little soup to start, followed by a few snails, then some cod with winter vegetables, a salad of curly frisée.
Huh? Curly escarole.
Very good. To remind us of the curls of the infant Jesus. Very good. And a modest selection of cheeses. The meal is then interrupted for a pause for a little religiosity when everyone attends midnight mass before coming back to attack the 13 desserts. Why 13? Is it the
12? Well, there's 12 days of Christmas, which is celebrated, of course, ending with the Feast of the Magi on January 6th, I believe.
So they probably threw in another one for Santa Claus or something.
Well,
13 desserts.
There's probably a reason for it.
Sounds really, really good. And if you really want to be very traditional, you will need a large, slow-burning log to place with due ceremony on the hearth.
Evan thinks 13 is the 12 apostles plus Jesus.
Who knows? That's a good idea. Right. See, we throw out opinions here, and that's our opinion. You will have noticed, continues Peter Mayle in his discussion about Provence and Christmas, Father Christmas does not feature in these simple celebrations. When he first moved to Provence, he was very rarely seen, but in recent years, he's been making up for lost time, and he's been flown in by helicopter to a local football field to the astonishment of local children. So,
right. They don't have snow.
No. So he is still complaining that Father Christmas really shouldn't be part of it. But the idea of a light, interesting meal with 13 desserts sounds...
Well, because, you know, in Catholic countries, you have to go to midnight mass on Christmas. Mm-hmm. So then you eat a little before you go, and then... my son's father's family, we would always come home and have something called the réveillon, which was oysters and champagne. And this is like after the midnight mass.
Oh.
Yeah.
That wasn't in Provence.
Brittany.
So a little farther to the north, a little farther to the west.
Better oysters there.
Better oysters. Yeah. Very, very good.
So Christmas traditions, and by the way, this year solstice, which is, you know, the longest night of the year, which I really like to celebrate, is on the 21st on Friday. So light a few candles around the house on Friday the 21st.
Think of solstice. Lots of things going on. We're listening to KHOI. This is Community Radio, and this is the Donalana Kitchen. For more information about the Donalana Kitchen, go to khoifm.org. You can find out a lot more about this great radio station. And find out more about the Donalana Kitchen. Go to the talk section. Find Donalana there. And lo and behold, there are tons of archives. If you can't get enough of us, you can listen to past shows.
If you're tired of Christmas, you could go listen to the Easter shows.
And, yeah, or find out what we're doing in July. And warm yourself up. And there's recipes. Do go to our recipe page and peruse around that KHOI website there. There's a lot of good local programming there. Welcome back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We're talking about food and holiday traditions, and we also have a little bit of time here to consider our Donalana Kitchen News Department. That's the ticker tape. Yes, we have a news department. It's Donna and I finding things that we think you should know. So, Donna, take it away. What do you have for us today?
Well, of course, I'm sure we have all noticed that there is a another recall of romaine lettuce. You go into all of our local stores, and they're like blanks on the shelves, you know, where the romaine lettuce is, or the salad mixes that have romaine lettuce. Or so once again, we are reminded that our gigantic, world, global, expansive, mass-produced food system has a few problems. basically, and we had another romaine scare less than a year ago, right? Some fields in Yuma, Arizona. Okay, so you're going, why are they growing lettuce in Yuma, Arizona? It's a desert, right? And where is the water coming from? Well, the problem with the E. coli in the lettuce stems from the irrigation water. And specifically, the water is coming somehow in contact with perhaps it's a carrion wildlife thing, but most likely it's feedlots, is because that's the largest, amount of manure producers. So the thing is, it's difficult. I mean, 5 or 6 years ago, I can't remember, there was the spinach recall.
That's right.
As well.
That's right.
And it turned out that, of course, the contamination came from, and this was with Earthbound Farms, organic farming. The contamination came because they had some small fields on a grass-fed beef farm. Lovely, bucolic, pastoral kind of place, but still it was the cows, and something happened. And, so now we've tried to institute on a federal level more stringent regulations, but then there was a rollback on that because that was too onerous for the farmers and da 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 da. And now it's come down to checking the water sources once a year. Well, that's certainly inadequate from any scientific, it's a conundrum. It's kind of, as Dr. Ben Brook, our scientist, who sends me all these newsletters that are very helpful. He says, it's time to confront what the science is clearly pointing to. Livestock, especially stressed out cattle that shed more E. coli 0157 than healthy cattle, and fresh produce cannot share the same landscape without extraordinary preventative measures that go way beyond the current federal regulations. So there you have it. It's something that we have not worked out yet, and my solution is, of course, we order our lettuce from farm to folk. So it's grown right here in kind of hoop houses or little greenhouses. And so I haven't had any disruption in my salad greens. But in case you want to try farm to folk, that is just Google farm to folk, not folks, folk. And that is a buying club that you can be a member of in Ames. It's all local food produced here, in Story County year-round. And then you don't really have to worry about it coming from California or Yuma, Arizona. And we support our local farmers. So there you have it. Watch out for that. Now, on another story, there is another salmonella recall with beef, and it's like some huge amount of, 5.1 million pounds of beef of salmonella. Now, this is...
Oh, my.
And the odd thing about it is included in the recall is Grass Run Farms, which was started in eastern Iowa. And you go, oh, dear, how could that happen? Well, Grass Run Farms, which was started by Ryan Jepson and his wife, was eventually bought by JBS, which is the world's largest Brazilian beef producer. Of course, as grass-fed is becoming more and more popular, they wanted in on that market. So they bought out Ryan and his family. And And I'm sure that they're probably continuing the same production methods. However, what they're doing is they take those nice fed beef cattle here, probably some of it must still be in Iowa, but they send it to their JBS processing plants.
Not in Brazil.
No. But that's where the contamination of some cow that has salmonella gets processed in that plant, and the contamination, because it's a, this is, these are very large companies, so huge. Uh-huh. I mean, I think JBS might be the largest beef company in the world. So anyway, there is now a recall in the U.S. for 5.1 million pounds of beef with salmonella. So this is not happy news. Know your farmer. There we go. The same old thing. And I mean, this is the problem with a large industrial food system. Like, you know, I'm sure that in the distant past, cows got contaminated.
Oh, people got sick off
but,
of this
but
and
only
that.
One or two yeah, would right, probably, right, right. You know, whereas now if you make that oopsie, you've got 500 people in the hospital, across 24 states and stuff like that. So it becomes a very big deal and you're not, you're just not expecting it.
Ooh, so E. coli in your lettuce and salmonella in your beef. Ooh. Be careful out there. Oh, my. Let's go back to some more.
Something more cheerful.
Happy holiday thoughts. Although we need to know this other stuff, too. And on Donalana Kitchen, we try to run the gamut of things that might come across your kitchen table. Yes, we mentioned Cook's Emporium today. We talked to Mindy Bergstrom. And I want to mention that buying local is really a good idea. Every Thursday evening in downtown Ames, they're having something called Mingle on Main, which is
just a December thing?
Yeah, well, through December, Thursday. Oh, okay. Through, being very festive, and they had a wassail night last week, and I don't know what else is going to come on, but lots of open stores and music, and hopefully we'll have some of that designer snow dumped down on us, too. That'll look kind of nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing, too. Also, I want to mention there's some more, Christmas traditions. Saturday, Tuba Christmas.
Oh, Tuba Christmas. That's at the Methodist Church, right? That's also downtown.
Yes, it is. And if you think that you have heard Christmas carols, you haven't heard Christmas carols till you've had just tons of tubas playing at you.
Oh, that's 25, 35. I don't know. It's a good.
Oh, let's see. Well, last year, 100.
Really?
It was pretty amazing. That says right here in the paper. I'm reading it.
Right. And the acoustics in that church are quite fun for that sort of thing.
Very good. It is at 11 a.m. and 1:30 at the First United Methodist Church, 516 Kellogg's in downtown, across from the post office.
Last year, I noticed there's an MC that makes lots of corny jokes.
Very good. Very good. That's Tuba Christmas. And Saturday evening, the Ames Chamber Artists Choral Concert. That's a nice thing to catch, too. That will be at the Presbyterian Church, at the Collegiate Presbyterian Church, 7:30, Ames Chamber Artists Holiday Concert. Bunch of people that know how to sing. You have been listening to the Donalana Kitchen, thanks to Mindy Bergstrom. Cook's Emporium.
Who is serving waffles, by the way, on Thursday night?
Oh, part of that Mingle on Main?
Yes.
Oh, waffles.
And the biscotti class that we're having, where I will be showing you how to eat and make biscotti on Saturday morning at 10, this coming Saturday.
See, there's lots of things coming up. Very good. A lot of good holiday ideas. The music today by Scottish fiddler Elka Baker. Support this fine community radio station. Go to KHOIFM.org and push the donate button. This is the holiday season. I will leave you with this quote from Wendell Berry. Be joyful, even though you have considered all the facts.
Oh, Wendell, bless you.
My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had excellent engineering by Evan Taylor. Eat good food, enjoy life.